Well, welcome back to Focus with Paul W. Smith. It's Sandy Barua, your radio intern, filling in yet again. Our next guest has been the transformative leader of the Detroit Medical Center, has been the transformative leader for 12 years as mayor of the great city of Detroit. And now he's trying something transformative yet again, and that is running to be the chief executive officer of the state of Michigan, the governor's chair, as an independent. Mike Duggan, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Sandy.
Well, I'm going to jump right into it. So independent polling shows that you are now tied, if not with a little bit of a lead in some cases, with your two primary traditional Democrat and Republican rivals. As you travel the state, how does that feel? Are you feeling that out there when you're talking to the people?
Well, I'm calling you now from downtown Cassopolis. And if your listeners aren't familiar, it's right on the Indiana border where I already had breakfast this morning with a whole group of people in Three Rivers, a little bit north of here. And it is amazing what they're doing. They've got this 500-acre development site where they're landing a couple of manufacturing sites. And I'm listening to the story about, you know, it'd be really good if the state helped us on housing. It'd really be good if the state helped us in bringing some jobs here. But to see the success that's going on, and this is what I'm doing. I'm spending my time in these rural communities, and I'm learning what's working, what's not working, and you can definitely feel the difference. People who 6 months ago had no idea who the mayor of Detroit was, they all want to come talk to me about their problems, and it's amazing how similar they are.
Well, say more about that, because I imagine when people first hear that the mayor of Detroit is running for governor, especially when you're in a rural community, their first thought might be, well, I don't think this guy has any idea what we're going through here in our rural community. But my guess is that's probably not true.
So you should see this. I'm hanging out with the village manager right now in Cassopolis. They are sitting on a lake that had been abandoned. They have rebuilt the lakefront into community space, very much like the Detroit Riverfront on a smaller scale, but it's been their central gathering place. They've taken vacant land, and they are recruiting against Indiana every single day to get jobs here, saying, wouldn't it be good if the state of Michigan gave us some assistance? But the most fascinating thing is they've got an abandoned township hall they turned into 7 affordable housing units. Of course, in the last 6 years, we built 6,000 affordable housing units in Detroit. But as we talk through the math and how they did it, it's exactly the same issue, exactly the same process, and you can see this. But it doesn't matter where I go, Sandy. Every small community in this state, you go up to Marquette, their biggest issue is they can't fill entry-level jobs at the hospital because the housing's too expensive. We have made it so expensive to build housing in this state, and we have so little help in the state of Michigan. You know, we're leading this country in people under 30 moving out, and it doesn't take very long between what unites the rural areas and southeastern Michigan comes to the forefront.
You know, your answer there really kind of leads me into our messaging at the Detroit Regional Chamber that in some ways, Michigan's house is on fire. Michigan is second to last in the 50 states for population growth. We are in the 40s out of the 50 states for per capita income and educational achievement, particularly evaluated by fourth grade reading scores. When you're talking to people all parts of the state, you know, let alone Southeast Michigan, you know, do people understand that we have this crisis and we need to do something different in the state of Michigan than we have been doing? Otherwise, we're just going to keep falling.
I would say people think the rest of the state is getting everything and they've been left out, no matter where I am. But the overall sense that we're 40th in America in household income, which seems impossible, people have not digested that in this state. They think it's just their area, but everybody else is doing well. And I think as this campaign goes along, it's going to be an important aspect of this. But I was just with the superintendent down here. They have virtually no high school CTE programs here, and they need to start them for the businesses they have coming in. And we just talked about the fact Indiana's across the border. Indiana spends $200 million a year on high school vocational tech. Michigan spends 40. And half of our districts have basically no programs for skilled trades, for auto mechanics, for all these good paying jobs that we can't fill here. And so I'm finding this, it doesn't matter where I go, we're having exactly the same conversation. My kids are going to leave the state because they don't have the job opportunities here. What are you going to do about it? And it's pretty exciting, the momentum that's building as we talk about, you know, how we share solutions.
So as an independent candidate for governor, and I really want to stress that when you say you're an independent, you're really an independent. You're not representing an independent party or running for some nomination. You're just saying, I'm Mike Duggan, and I'm running for governor.
I'm going to work with people of goodwill in both parties. I'm not going to get engaged in the state rep or the state senate races. You saw what happened at the Democratic state convention yesterday. It was a fiasco. They're yelling at each other and heckling each other and booing each other. They weren't heckling and booing Donald Trump. They were heckling and booing other Democrats for not being politically correct enough. And I think more and more people in this state are getting tired of this. But I guarantee you, the groups that I am getting in outstate Michigan, they wouldn't be showing up to listen to a Democratic candidate for governor because we've gotten so divided. But it's been pretty exciting that people from both parties and independents show up at all these town halls because the Democrats are going to their Democratic club meetings, the Republicans are going to their Republican club meetings. But I don't have any clubs, so I invite everybody from every community, and people really, I think, enjoy just talking through problems instead of listening to a speech about who do I hate.
You know, one of the things that we all admired about your tenure as mayor of Detroit is that you never fought with city council. And I know, because you and I had conversations while you were mayor, where the city council did something that was contrary to what you thought was the best thing, but you never attacked city council. You never, you know, disparaged anyone. And, you know, that is, I assume, the approach that you're going to take to Lansing, should you be successful.
It was the key. We could talk to each other professionally. And there's $10 billion in investment in Detroit today as a result that wasn't there when I started.
Well, Mike Duggan, thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you for your leadership and all of your roles. Be safe on the campaign trail, and the best to Sonia.
All right. Thank you, Sammy.
All right, folks. That was Mike Duggan, independent candidate for governor. Coming up next, the president of the Grand Hotel on Mackinac Island. We'll be right back.